That song was perfect. I needed that so much because, well, I'm going to start by just sharing the experience that Joe mentioned as he was sharing what happened to him. The Lord is teaching me a lesson, and it's a tough, really, 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 really tough for me. When I taught gospel doctrine, I taught it for 4 years, and because in our ward we had bishops, we had a stake president, we had a general authority, and I was the first woman in my ward that had been a gospel doctrine, called to be a gospel doctrine teacher, so I was so intimidated because I thought only men were supposed to teach that class. And here I was, you know, with all of these authorities in my ward. And so because I felt like I couldn't just teach the lesson the way, you know, it's been taught every year because everybody's bored, I needed to really study. And so I did. All week long, I spent all day long studying. I didn't watch TV. It was kind of weird that, you know, my family didn't see me for, you know, 4 years because I was studying. And when I'd go to give the lesson, you know, I'd try to write it out, but when I'd get there, I'd want to keep eye-to-eye contact. And so I tried to, you know, just go with this, what I could remember and everything. And the Lord wanted me to just read through the scriptures, you know, a number of times during the week, and then just come and teach and go with the Spirit. But I didn't trust myself, and in reality, I didn't trust the Lord. And because of that, now whenever anybody wants me to speak, I can't write anything. I just get too much stuff coming. You know, I study like, and that's what he's done. He said, I was just praying as it's getting closer. Day, it's, you know, 1 week away, it's 5 days. And I'm like, Heavenly Father, please, I need to know how to put this together. Every morning I have a new talk and it's not working. And so I'm going, I really want this, I want this, I want to share this, I want them to hear this, I want them to feel, I, and then it hit me, and he said, I needed to say, well, I said, what do you want? And so the scripture of the conference came to my mind. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So I said, okay, I'm coming with a nice blank slate here, and I'm going to share what comes to my heart through the Lord. This is practice. I'm giving my practice lesson. Okay. With all the wonderful talks that have been given, I'm sitting here going, who am I and why did they even ask me? I just can't even understand that. Except I do have one qualification. I have 9 children, and and they gave us the topic, preserving your family in a time of restoration and apostasy. So I thought, well, maybe it's because I have lots of kids. Maybe that's the qualification. The thing is about it, you know, they all came with different personalities. They're wonderful. I did one thing right when I was pregnant. Every single child, I asked the Lord, please send me a special spirit. And guess what? I got 9 special spirits. They didn't come with instruction manuals, though. So it was really a tough thing because they're all different, but they were all meant to teach me something, and they have. As I was thinking about preserving your family in a time of restoration and apostasy, I was thinking of all the things I, you know, maybe I've learned through the years with my children, with, you know, the books I've studied. And I kept thinking, what can I teach in this lesson, in this talk? What can I teach that would be of value to anybody, you know? And the thought came, how and what did Heavenly Father teach his, you know, teach Adam and Eve? If we go back to what Heavenly Father taught Adam and Eve, then we can see what the perfect father does to teach his children. And so I went to Moses chapter 6, and I'm going to give just a little bit of background. First of all, there's Adam and Eve were put in the garden, and they were given everything they wanted. But the adversary came in and through the mouth of a serpent encouraged them to partake of the fruit. And when Eve listened to the serpent instead of God, and she partook of the fruit, and then she gave it to Adam, and he listened to his wife instead of God, and he partook of the fruit, and now they've fallen. And one of the lessons, I think, there is, why are we listening to anybody but God? You know, that's the first lesson. And so I'm going to turn this around. Okay, because I have kids and that's my language, I have to have pictures, and I never grew up, I have to admit. Anyway, okay, it says in Moses chapter 6, and God is wanting Adam and Eve to come back into his presence, because after they fell, they it was spiritual death. They were now dead to the presence of God. And so he wanted to teach them how to come back into his presence. Now, the reason this is important is, isn't that our goal too? That we're spiritually dead because we're out of God's presence. And right now we want to come back into his presence. But not only do we want ourselves to come back into his presence, we want our family. We want everyone that we love to come back into his presence. And so before we can help our children, we have to help ourselves. We have to know how to come back into his presence. And so this is the advice that God gave to Adam and Eve. It's in Moses 6, and it's actually Enoch speaking from the book of Adam, his book of remembrance. And he says, you know, God called upon our father Adam by his own voice, saying, I am God. I made the world and men before they were in the flesh. And he also said unto them, if thou wilt turn unto me and hearken to my voice. Okay, turn unto me and hearken to my voice. And believe and repent of all thy transgressions, and be baptized, even in water, in the name of mine only begotten Son, who is full of grace and truth, which is Jesus Christ, the only name which shall be given under heaven, whereby salvation shall come unto the children of men. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Asking all things in his name, and whatsoever he shall ask, it shall be given you. That is so awesome. Does that kind of remind you of something we've heard before and a lot lately? How about the doctrine of Christ? Right from the very, very beginning, He's teaching them the doctrine of Christ. So, that gives us a clue what we can do. It says, and the Lord spake unto Adam, saying, inasmuch as thy children are conceived in sin, even so when they begin to grow up in sin, when they begin to grow up, sin conceiveth in their hearts, and they taste the bitter, that they may know the prize, to prize the good. And it is given unto them to know good from evil, wherefore they are agents unto themselves. That's an important thing. And I have given unto you another law and commandment, wherefore teach it unto your children. So he tells them what to do. And the first thing is, now teach it to your children, that all men everywhere must repent, or they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. For no unclean thing can dwell there or dwell in his presence. And then again, a little later, therefore I give unto you a commandment to teach these things freely unto your children. So right from the very beginning, he's teaching the doctrine of Christ. Now, when we go to Christ in the sermon, when he went to Bountiful, okay? It's in 3 Nephi. We've got the doctrine of Christ where he talks about, I'm going to say these quickly because we're going over the doctrine of Christ. It's so important. And this is my doctrine. It is the doctrine which the Father hath given unto me. And again, I say unto you, ye must repent. So right here, repent. And become as a little child. Now this was different. This was new. So we become as a little child. And we're going to talk about it. And be baptized in my name, or ye can in no wise receive these things. And again, I say unto you, ye must repent and be baptized in my name and become as a little child, or ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. And so, okay, we're going to talk about this for a minute. I put here, faith is the foundation for all of it. That's why it's not really steps, because they can go in different orders. You can receive, them at different times. People have had different experiences. Like they've had the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost before they were even baptized. And so these are just all here that are bringing us to the way or the straight and narrow. And so anyway, one of the reasons it's really important to become as a little child is because they are so humble and teachable and always wanting to learn. They know that they don't have the answers, so they hope that if they listen to us, they hope to learn what we know. And so from the time they're little, we have to be so careful what we're saying, what we're doing, because they copy us. They very, very well, they copy us. Nephi said, and this one I really love because he went into a little bit more description, wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception. Okay, so that's really important right there. Full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon you the name of Christ by baptism, yea, by following your Lord and your Savior down into the water according to his word, Behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost. And then can ye speak with the tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. Okay, that one goes into more depth, and that's what I'd like to do, talk about now. When we get to this point, repentance, become as a little child, baptism by water, and then we're commanded to be baptized by fire and the Holy Ghost. And if Joseph said, if we aren't baptized by the Holy Ghost, by fire and the Holy Ghost, then you might as well baptize a bag of sand. He said, you might as well baptize a bag of sand as a man, if not done in view of the remission of sins and getting the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to stop there for a minute. The only way that these things are going to become real is through the Spirit. We can have the baptism, which is just an outward showing of our commitment. But what we really are seeking for is the real thing that's inside, the intent of our hearts. It's all about our hearts. And so as we go through this, we'll talk about that a little bit. Because the baptism of fire, well, he goes on to say that the baptism by water is but half a baptism and is good for nothing without the other half. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So this is the problem that we have. We get to this, we check off these boxes, we go through these steps, and we think, yay, we're on the path, we're on the straight and narrow, and we're right here, we're about to God, you know, and we've gone right past that gate, we're here, we're safe. But that's not true. If you do not have the baptism of fire, that is the cleansing, that is the purifying of our hearts, and we become a new person. We're born again. And that's the symbolism of baptism, which is so beautiful, is the death, burial, and the resurrection of the person. And when you go through that, you go down, and that natural man is dead. And up comes the new born again person. And that, when that happens, when you go through that experience, that's where the mighty change of heart comes. But it doesn't come just by checking off these boxes. And so it says here in 2 Nephi 32, "And now behold, my beloved brethren, I suppose that ye ponder somewhat in your heart concerning that which ye should do after ye have entered in by the way." So the reason why this is important is you cannot get on this path unless Christ says you've had that baptism of fire. Because it says, let me go on. You ponder these things in your heart. Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ. Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things which ye should do. For behold, again I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show unto you all things which you should do. So if to get onto this path and to you have to have the Holy Ghost to tell you all things that you should do. And you won't get there unless it says right here, In 2 Nephi 9:41 in the LDS edition, it says, Christ is the keeper of the gate, and he employeth no servant there. So you can't just check off the boxes and say, I'm there, I've got it, because he stands in front of that gate, and you can't fool him, because he knows. But once you've had that baptism of fire, it says, behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there is no more doctrine given until after he shall manifest himself unto you. And the things he shall manifest unto you in the flesh, the things which he shall say unto you shall ye observe to do. So this is what we need to do. We need to get past this point. And then when we're on that straight and narrow, I just wanted to share a thought that I think it really kind of was fun. This straight and narrow isn't just, you know, like everybody's on here. We all have this same little path. Because for one thing, Nephi was on that straight and narrow. And what was he asked to do? What did the Lord ask him to do? He had to kill Laban. And that was a hard thing. And that's one thing I hope that I never have to do to be considered righteous. Because once you get on this straight and narrow path, it's not a man that's telling you or your parents or your teachers. When you get onto this path, it's the Holy Ghost that's now the one that you're to talk to. And he's the one that's telling you how to get to Christ. He's the one that's... So I was mentioning that Isaiah's mission was to go for 3 years naked, barefoot. And I don't think that would be a fun path to go on either. So my path is going to be different from my children too. And so we cannot judge. If you see somebody doing something that you think, why are they doing that? You know, like, I think people are wondering, why do I not go to church on Sunday? I do other things. I go to the park with the homeless, and they maybe judge me for that. But, you know, when we're doing what the Lord has told us to do, there should be no judgment. And that's one of the things as we're trying to come to Christ that we need to remember is not to judge. Okay, now, in the New Testament, and in the Sermon at Bountiful, it's so fun because I noticed that before the Savior actually started into the Sermon on the Mount, he went through and he said the same thing. He goes through the doctrine of Christ. He says, I've given power to his 12 that they may baptize you with water, and after that ye are baptized with water, behold, I will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. So the only place we can get the Holy Ghost and to be cleansed is through the Savior. And then, of course, he goes on into the Beatitudes and all of the things that I wanted to share that will help with our families are in the Sermon on the Mount. So that is the law of Christ. If you teach your children the doctrine and the law, that will help them so that they will be able to stand when you're not there. The thing is, We aren't always going to be with our children. We aren't supposed to be controlling and manipulating like I did. When my children were younger, I thought, okay, I am going to be the best mother ever. I'm going to make sure that they never make any mistakes. And so I was very, very controlling. And it worked for 8 children. They were pretty much obedient, and they did, you know, what I asked. My 9th, she had a mind of her own, and I was literally, I didn't know what to do. And so I was praying all the time, trying to figure out what to do. And it said, it was like if I said the sky is blue, she'd say, no, it's white. There's clouds. You know, it was like nothing that I said was right. And so at one point, our relationship was so bad that she would, if I'd say one little thing she didn't like, she was out of here. And I just thought, I don't know what to do. I don't want this kind of a relationship. And so that's when the Lord helped me understand that I was being Satan and that I was trying to do control, manipulate, and all that. And so I stepped back and it's like, okay, I can't do anything except love her. That is the most important thing I know, is to love. And so I'm going to put up some things here. The first thing is, if we teach our children to trust God, that is the most important thing I think we can teach them, because, of course, we all know why. But let me put this down. The thing is, we can't always be there with them, but God can. He's always there. He can answer our prayers, and he always does. And so if we teach them how much he does for them and how he's always there, it doesn't matter what happens in their life if they will go to him first. The next thing is, okay, we think, okay, these are not, I put good works. We think that we've been taught that by good works, we're going to be able to make it into heaven, right? Because it says, by their works ye shall know them. And in Matthew 25, Jesus gives the parable of the sheep and the goats. And he talks about, I was anhungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee and thirsty and gave thee drink? And he said, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And so we think, okay, all we have to do is do a whole bunch of good deeds. And so isn't that what we try to do? We try to be serving all the time. And I wrote down a list once of what was expected of me, like home visiting, teaching, and doing my genealogy and serving at the cannery. And my list was so long that I wasn't sure I was going to make it to heaven. But then In another place, the Lord says, not every man that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Okay, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, you never knew me, ye that work iniquity. So that seems to contradict that it's not the deeds that's going to save us, all that good, the good works. But the prophet Mormon gives us a really good clue as to the meaning of the word works. He says, for I remember the word of the Lord, which saith, by their works ye shall know them. For if their works be good, then they are good also. For behold, God hath said, a man being evil cannot do that which is good. For if he offereth up a gift or prayeth unto God, except he shall do it with real intent, it profiteth him nothing. For behold, it is not counted unto him for righteousness. So the key is when we understand that works are not actions, that's the key right there. Because you could have two people doing the same thing. One could be praying in the streets loud, and one could be in the closet, and the one to be seen of man is counted as wickedness to the Lord, and the one in the closet with real intent is righteous. So an evil person is not saved by their prayer, no matter how loud or long they pray. It doesn't matter how often we go to church, how much we donate financially to charities, and how often we attend the temple. None of these things save us or exalt us or determine our righteousness before God. An evil person can do these things just as well as a righteous person. For this reason, any attempt at doing good works for the sake of earning a spiritual reward or gaining God's favor will fail. So if we want to teach our children what's really important, we have to teach them about it's not the good works that are the important thing. Of course, good works are important, but it's the intent of your heart. And I started to notice this because it says that if we pray, I'm thinking it's in Mormon, I think. If we pray without real intent, it's counted as evil. And then I start thinking, how many times have I started saying my prayers and I fall asleep, or my mind is wandering as I'm praying and thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow, what I've got to do. And that's scary, because if we're judged by our hearts, we have to make sure that whatever we do, that's something that we can do ourselves, and we can teach our children, that do everything from the heart. God has asked us to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's the sacrifice he wants. It's not all these checklists of things he wants us to do, you know. He just asks for our heart, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Repentance is accompanied by a broken heart and contrite spirit. When you turn to him and see clearly for the first time how dark your ways have been, it should break your heart. You should realize how desperately you stand in need of his grace to cover you, lift you, and heal you. Your own heart must break when you behold how little you have to offer him. your spirit becomes contrite. We can do a lot for God, but there's one, or he can do a lot for us, but there's one thing he cannot do, and a man must do it alone, and that is give him our heart. That is our responsibility. One last thing about this. When people struggle with receiving the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost, it is often because they do not have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. They see themselves, now this hit me because I feel like this is me. They see themselves as good and righteous people. They can't accept their own wickedness. They excuse themselves and justify themselves, thinking that they are not wicked. Well, I hope that's not me, but if you cannot accept your own error or weakness, then you do not have a broken heart required to experience the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost. And that is where we have to evaluate ourselves, because I know a lot of times we think we're doing really fine, especially when we think we're on this path, but yet we haven't gone to God with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I'm going to share something just as because I feel like it'll teach you an example. When I was younger, I had a foster sister that was actually ended up being called to a church court. And Terry and I were a young married couple. She'd come over and visit with us. And she told us that she had this church court the following Sunday. And I mean, it was devastating. And I started right after she left to start praying for her. I started reading Spencer W. Kimball's book, The Miracle of Forgiveness. And I was fasting and praying and reading this book. And as I am reading this book that lists everything in the world that you can do wrong, I was like, oh my gosh. By a couple of days of reading that, I was like, I need to repent. And so guess what? I stopped praying for her. No, I didn't. But I turned to start praying for myself, repenting, because I thought, oh, you know, I am so wicked compared to this book. And so, I mean, I'm repenting. And literally, my heart was broken at that point. And on Friday night of that week, I had a dream. And in that dream, I saw everyone in the world. It was kind of, and I say everybody was naked, but not really. I mean, it was like all they were stripped of all their, you know, degrees, their importance. It was like everybody was in the same boat. Like if God looked down and he just sees a bunch of people, we all look the same pretty much, you know. And so when I saw that, I'm feeling like, okay, you know, we're all here in this together. No one's better or worse than the other. And then I saw the Savior. And I looked at him and he was looking at me with a pleased look on his face. And I'm like, just like Joe said, you don't say anything. It was all mental telepathy. I'm looking at him where he's looking at me pleased with the most beautiful look on his face. And I said in my mind, how can you be pleased with me? I've done so many things wrong. And the thought came back to me just as plain as if it said out loud. He said, because you're trying. And that has changed my whole life. From the moment I heard that, I knew that he doesn't expect us to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes, and those mistakes are okay because we learn through our mistakes. But we have to, of course, change our ways. We have to turn, return, repent, get back on that path, and get to where we're okay. So knowing that all it takes is that we're trying to make him pleased. If we keep trying every day, keep trying to do a little better, and especially as we receive the baptism of fire, we teach our children the same thing. Help them learn this path. And let me just say, as you get old, you know, have older children, which I have, all my children are married and out of the house. And like I said, my youngest, we went through trials. And then when I turned around and did what the Savior does, and that's unconditional love, and that's all I could do. I laid my children on the altar to God, and I said, they're all out of my house now. I cannot control them like I tried. So all I can do now is love them, and it's in your hands now. And a miracle happened. We're best friends now. She calls me all the time. She tells her children that her childhood was wonderful. I'm going, where were you? And so we never can give up on our children because God knows how to save them. It was never our job to save our children. It was our job to love them and to teach them and to be an example. And that's all he asks us to do, is to just love and teach and be an example. And I know that in this movement, a lot of families aren't together. And this is a challenge, and this is a test that we're having to go through. But if we try to just do what the Savior has taught us, and especially if you receive the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost is telling you all things which you should do, he'll tell you how to reach your children and maybe what to say. But always do it with your heart, with real intent, and love. And I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.